New findings suggest drinking soda may shorten your life.
Well, welcome to the Purple Stuff Podcast.
You want a Pepsi, pal? You're gonna pay for it.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Starring Jay from Sludge Central and Matt from Dinosaur Dracula.
Matt, the last time we talked about soda at length was about 4 years ago. Can you believe that?
I looked it up and I was like, are you kidding? It was July of 2020.
Unbelievable. And in soda years, that's like 16 years, I think.
Most of the brands we talk about don't last that long.
It's high time that we cracked open some cold sodas and recorded a sequel to our soda show.
The long-awaited Soda Show Part 2.
And they're going to get an 8-pack instead of a 6-pack tonight of sodas.
8 great sodas, maybe one or two that only barely qualify as sodas, but still, a lot of drinks are coming your way tonight.
We came prepared tonight just to get into the vibe with cans of different sodas. So what I brought to the table here is the Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar Coconut Cream, I think. Oh, Creamy Coconut.
I just want to make sure I heard that right.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar Coconut Cream.
Oh, God. Creamy Coconut.
Creamy Coconut. I mean, no matter which way you order the words, I have to be honest with you, that sounds like the most disgusting soda ever to me. Ever.
I would never have opted for a coconut soda in a million years. But we'll see, because I wanted to try it.
I got a Zero Sugar Canada Dry Ginger Ale. I was very basic.
Okay, so just a classic ginger ale. Just regular ginger ale, but zero sugar.
This is the soda I get for myself most often now.
I agree 100%. And you know what was great about that when we were kids? I don't know if you did this, but I used to. If I wanted to sit at the bar that we had when I was a kid, I would go up and pour ginger ale, thinking like that was my alcoholic beverage.
Right. Well, I mean, the bottles, the Canada Dry bottles all used to look like mixers anyway.
Yeah.
So it definitely fit. I used to do stuff like that.
All right. We're going to crack this.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. There we go.
So everyone knows what mine tastes like, but I got to know what yours tastes like.
All right, man, that was good. You know what it tastes like? A tanning bed.
That's what I was imagining. Like, it sounds like suntan lotion.
It smells like Hulk Hogan.
It's the Wildwood Beach. You didn't buy a case of that, did you?
They only had a 12-pack of cans. So, of course, I had to buy the whole 12-pack.
Even when you run out of other stuff, will you drink this?
I have to say, I'm not a huge coconut fan, but this is delicious.
Wow. This is where we divide here.
It's really good. But if you can't contend with coconut,
it really takes a special circumstance. Like, I could deal with it in candy sometimes, but soda, that's a hard pass for me.
Well, let's see if you hard pass on what's coming up next, where I kick off with my first pick, Matt.
Very excited.
Number one.
Yum! Oh, the taste of lime.
Ta-la-la-la. Yum. Ta-la-la-la.
Orange.
Yum. Ta-la-la-la.
Wild cherry.
Ta-la-la-la.
Yum.
Ta-la-la-la.
Lemon.
Yum.
Ta-la-la-la. And pineapple.
Yum. Ta-la-la-la.
Ta-la-la-la.
Yum. Ta-la-la-la.
So full of life.
Save us.
Yum.
All right, Matt, this is Lifesavers Soda, which was around in around 1995. Do you remember this one?
I do not. In fact, I have no idea if it was even sold here.
Really? See, I remember it. I actually have vivid memories of it because it was at ShopRite, of all places, and they had so many of them. So I'm wondering if it wound up getting discounted or what have you. So we got the whole line of this.
There was 5 different flavors.
it's a great concept. You have Lifesavers with all the different flavors, so they could come out with a soda for each flavor.
I mean, I think one is Fruit Punch instead of whatever the red one is normally, but by and large, yeah, they followed suit.
They called the Fruit Punch Red Tasty Fruit Punch, so you don't have your classic cherry. And then they didn't have lemon, so they switched it to grape. When I got these, they didn't really taste all that great. That's probably why a lot of the things that you'll read on the internet seem like this was a really huge failure.
I always associate Lifesavers with something more medicinal, so it does not appeal to me in the slightest to turn it into soda. I love Lifesavers, but when you translate it into other arenas, I'm not interested.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for Pop-Tarts.
They've done like gummy candy. They've done, they had a squeeze it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be disgusted if I had to eat it, but I would never actually pick it.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember these being really kind of like low budget sodas and almost had a cheap type of flavor.
They look like some really bad soda company, no offense to whoever it was, just partnered with Lifesavers and they're like, yeah, yeah, pay us the money, use our name and do whatever you want.
I love that you're saying no offense to like maybe some defunct company.
For all I know, it was like a Pepsi product. So I have no idea.
Like somebody, some company who's like truly passionate about bringing Lifesavers to the soda market. They felt so deep about it.
They're listening right now and they're like, wow, that hurt. The cans of this Lifesaver soda do pop up on eBay.
It's a nice can. I think the can was cool, but the plastic bottles were even better because you could see the color of each soda.
I mean, that's true, but I've never seen one of the old bottles listed. So if you're looking for a Lifesaver soda collectible, Jay, the pickings are slim.
They really are.
And it's interesting because if you see the red one, that's not too crazy expensive, but the other flavors like Lime Punch.
Forget it.
Very few people saved a can of Lime Punch, specifically Lifesaver soda.
Tangerine Tasties, even more rare.
Creamy coconut.
What? You're telling me that this juicy, delicious taste has always had less than 10 calories? You bet your Lifesavers.
You know, that's my favorite candy. I never knew each one had less than 10 calories.
You bet your Lifesavers.
Cute.
Can't I have some candy?
You bet your Lifesavers.
Can Lifesavers roll candy add more fun to your life with less than 10 calories each?
You bet your Lifesavers.
Number 2. Introducing the Pepsi Wild Bunch. The great taste of Pepsi-Cola in 3 wild new flavors. Pepsi-Cola gone wild. In raging raspberry, strawberry burst, and tropical chill. The Pepsi Wild Bunch. The wildest Pepsi ever.
Jay, are you ready to get crazy?
I'm ready.
My first pick is the Pepsi Wild Bunch, a trio of freaky fruity sodas that were test marketed back in 1991.
Yes.
Essentially regular Pepsi with a fruity twist. So you had Strawberry Burst, Raging Raspberry, and Tropical Chill, which I believe was a Pineapple Orange.
Pineapple Orange, yeah, that really does sound like a good combo. I was upset that Raging Raspberry wasn't more of a thing, because I was into that. I was into Raspberry.
Oh, Raspberry, we forget. Like, Raspberry was the shit.
It had mystique.
Now, the key part of all of this were the can designs. You remember the classic Pepsi can, like from Wayne's World?
Yes.
Reskins of that design, bolder colors, special logos for each of the flavors. We didn't have this around us. We only know about this from the internet, and it's still basically our favorite Pepsi because it just looks so amazing. Of these three,
yeah,
which one is your favorite?
I need to give it one more look.
Introducing the Pepsi Wild Bunch. The great taste of Pepsi-Cola.
I'm going Raging Raspberry. It's the best.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a solid pick. I do think, despite Raspberry's draw, which is considerable, I can't turn down this Strawberry Burst.
Of course. It's a red can. What a cool looking can.
Your jaw drops when you see that can.
They didn't really do a lot of limited flavors, really, especially Pepsi.
They do it now, but it's no big deal now. Back then, it was so like, holy shit, there's three new Pepsis. They must have made way more than sold because they're pretty easy to find even today.
So I'm taking you own them?
Oh, I own multiple sets. I have a sealed set in the mailer that they sent to press.
Which I'm looking at coincidentally right now.
Yeah, that's a classic.
A Google search.
Yeah, that's one. And I have the loose cans.
Oh, I thought you were saying loose canon.
No, no, no. Okay. This is all perfectly in canon. Nothing loose about it.
No, I was talking about Brian Pillman. No.
I'm sure he would have enjoyed Strawberry vs. Pepsi too, Jay.
Number 3.
Now available everywhere. The original New York seltzer. Matt, do you remember these?
Oh my God. A real curveball for number two. Wow. Oh, man. New York seltzer.
Yeah. So naturally flavored, no preservatives, was sweetened, but these were just what you thought would be tasting like seltzer, but they actually just tasted like a delicious fruity soda that came in multiple different flavors.
And that is something I didn't realize until today. Now, I remember this, and I know that it's back now, but I don't think I ever tasted it because I had no idea that this was straight up clear soda.
The color of each label matched the flavor. So if it was lemon-lime, it was kind of like a greenish-yellow. There was so many different flavors that even if you weren't a fan of this stuff, I mean, there was grape, blueberry, lemon-lime, black cherry, peach, root beer, strawberry. I mean, just it went on and on. Vanilla cream.
You should have stopped before the vanilla cream. But yes, a multitude of flavors in those cute little glass bottles that look like the old trial-sized Cokes.
There were small glass bottles, and the label was like Art Deco, New York skyline, old-fashioned. It was just like really, really cool. And it gave you that vibe like it was from the 30s.
It's weird because the company name is New York Seltzer, but I think the company is in California.
Yes.
So I grew up thinking that this was like our local brew.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Now, this guy in California, Randy Miller and his father were a team who created this and marketed it. It wound up he had this interesting story, I guess, where he was this daredevil guy doing crazy stunts, and he also happened to be an exotic pet trainer. So he's like this really interesting guy. Meanwhile, he has this vibe like he's in a 90s or 80s metal band. And so I recommended to you to watch Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with this guy on it.
Oh, my God. I watched it and my world was forever changed, Jay.
In the Fizz Biz, Randy Miller's no soda jerk. His soft drink empire bubbles up over $100 million a year in sales. The high-tech exec doesn't belong to the pinstripe boardroom brigade either. He took a walk on the wild side and caught a tiger by the tail.
So they do this spotlight on a guy, and it's not what you're expecting about this guy who runs a soda company. Quite a character. The Sultan of Seltzer, as it were.
I'm your typical successful, young, successful businessman that still is very young at heart and, likes to play a little.
He basically was a hair band rock star without the actual band.
Right.
Drove race cars, pet tigers, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like a bad guy from an 80s movie.
No pussycat when it comes to thrills. Randy revs up the fast lane with a nitro-guzzling, rubber-burning dragster bearing the company logo.
They're very fast. I mean, these cars are capable of doing 5-6 second quarter miles. They get up to 240 miles an hour. They're fast.
New York Seltzer is helmed by who?
Yeah, it's crazy. They show him in these shots where, like, he's commanding trucks to move out, and he's like an air traffic controller with them. And I'm like, what is this guy? Next thing you know, they're referring to him as the Barons of the Beverage Brouhaha. Like, who wrote this?
Somebody with a talent, because that is catchy.
Randy's big pussy cats enjoy an equally charmed life. Free to roam the sprawling home, they even have their own temperature-controlled atrium. Its centerpiece is an artificial tree that he paid $25,000 for.
Is he really, like, part of the day-to-day operations, or is he sort of like a figurehead president? How have they not made a movie about this? It's crazy.
I know.
Like many young men who have it all, Randy gets an extra charge out of putting his multi-million dollar neck on the line.
They even have a theme song for this that's done like a 80s hair band. It is incredible. This had a good long run of success for quite a while until it went defunct. But then it came back, and I'm like, man, it would be great if I can get this for the show. I went to two stores and also two Targets. So the other two stores was World Market, because they're listed on the site as having them, right?
Yeah.
Neither had them. I called World Market the next day. She said, you know, I'm just curious. So the lady said, well, they discontinued it. I don't know if this is accurate.
No. I think this woman probably didn't even realize that it had come back. So she's like, it was discontinued 10 years ago or whatever in her head. I'm pretty sure you could buy it. Like, you can go on Amazon.
It's on Amazon for like $45.
I didn't say it was cheap. I just said it was possible. So I actually tried to get it too, and the same thing happened to me.
The original New York Seltzer.
I really want to try this stuff. It even looks like they've added some flavors.
Oh, did they? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch now.
There was a lot before, but man, definitely want to pick it up and enjoy it with the Sultan of Seltzer.
Here's your chance to win a trip to New York City. It's the original New York Seltzer getaway. Our winner will fly via Eastern Airlines. With more flights to more fun vacations, they've got your summer. Stay at the Sheraton Park Avenue. Win tickets to Cats and Howie Mandel at Radio City Music Hall. Get details wherever specially marked six-packs of original New York Seltzer are sold. Enter now for your chance to go to New York City. Now more than ever, the choice is clear. Original New York Seltzer.
Number 4.
Move over, Eggnog. We're working this holiday party. Refreshing Sierra Mist Cranberry Splash is back. Available in regular and diet for a limited time. So start a new holiday tradition now.
You know, Jay, when Starry replaced Sierra Mist last year, I was totally fine with that. Lots of folks were so pissed off, but I never really drank it, so I didn't care.
Right.
And then it hit me a few days later. Losing Sierra Mist meant that we were also losing Sierra Mist Cranberry Splash. And that is my next pick. I loved Sierra Mist Cranberry Splash.
Yeah, you're always a big fan.
Where did you stand on this?
I loved it for mostly the same reasons as you. It was an untapped market.
It arrived in 2006. Cranberry Spiked Spin on the usual lemon-lime Sierra Mist. Bright red color, Christmassy green label, at least at first. It was everything I loved, Jay. It was cranberries, the holidays, limited edition soda. I loved this shit.
The perfect storm.
In the mid-2000s, this was like a big part of my holiday season. I can't look at those bottles now without remembering where I was and what I was doing in the mid-aughts.
I agree, especially about having it on my table during Thanksgiving the year it came out.
Yes, yeah. Very, very important to have Sierra Mist Cranberry Splash at that year's Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure 99% of the country did, Jay.
Yeah, 99.
There weren't that many big name like soda spinoffs at that point in the 2000s. I could think of Pepsi Holiday Spice, Mountain Dew Pitch Black, but it's a pretty low amount overall. So this really popped out.
Using cranberry especially was ballsy, especially at the time, because not a lot of cranberry stuff was out. So putting that in there was great, but it really tasted good. That is such a good combination. The lemon, lime, and cranberry is great.
The only other major one that I can think of is the Cranberry Canada Dry, which sounds similar, but actually is not.
Quite different, yeah.
I prefer Cranberry Canada Dry, but you're only going to get the specific flavor with Cranberry Splash.
Yeah, this also goes really well if you're going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner. This goes good with all that kind of food.
Oh, absolutely. You would literally crave Thanksgiving food when you drank it. This started in 2006. It was around for many years after that, kind of like on and off. It even survived that period where they rebranded as Mist Twists.
The Mist Twist, yeah.
Yeah, that was like, that was not a good rebrand in my opinion.
No, it was just very like basic.
But what I'm getting at is that it became a holiday staple, and I'm so sad that we're probably never going to see it again.
Well, hey, listen, never say never, because all these grassroots campaigns you'll read about, all the sodas that come back, it's like, there was a grassroots campaign. Like, okay, yeah, we're out marching in the streets to bring sodas back. I mean, it's a bunch of us saying, hey, we missed that, bring it back. So if you're really into it, it'll come back.
I agree with you, but that day is so far off because now they're pushing Starry, and if they bring back the old brand, it's going to make Starry look like a shit fucking soda. So they have to wait till Starry is either super established, which it isn't, or gone for good, which it also isn't.
You know what they could do? Put it in one of those tall, fancy glass bottles, and you have to order it in advance on the internet.
Oh, everyone would love that. Everyone would be so excited if it was $100 and super limited. I think that is definitely the way to go.
Brewed in the Sierra Madre. I don't even know where that is.
I like the idea. I'm down with it.
Oh, nice.
But for tonight, we're going to hold up our cans here, Jay, and pay respect.
Pour one out.
Pour one out for the Jingle Bell Giant of mid-aughts merriment. The Santa of soft drinks, Jay. The cranberry sauce of carbonated soda. Sierra Miss Cranberry Splash.
That was good. I like how you wrote out the whole eulogy.
Oh, no, I made that up on the fly. I swear I wasn't reading. I guess it sounded better on paper than it did out loud.
What's that? It's Cranberry Splash. New flavor from Sierra Miss. It's only around during the holidays.
Oh, I've never seen it before.
Yeah, it just shows up once a year, then it disappears. Just like the Holiday Hawk.
Holiday Hawk? Give me a break.
All right, it's a hawk, but there's nothing holiday about it.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle.
Oh, it is a holiday, huh?
You got any more of those cranberry splash?
I just got one more. I was going to give it to the hawk.
In a one-horse open sleigh.
Number five.
Action!
Hi, introducing new Crystal Pepsi.
Slight change. It's Crystal from Pepsi.
Hi, introducing new Crystal from Pepsi. It's a citrus cola.
Slight change.
Hi, introducing new
Bank 98.
It's a citrus cola with a taste beyond lemon lime.
Very, very slight change.
Hi, introducing new Crystal from Pepsi. The first citrus cola.
My next soda, Matt, is Crystal from the makers of Pepsi. In 1994, after Crystal Pepsi was about to meet its demise, that's when we saw Pepsi roll out Crystal from the makers of Pepsi.
So this has come up in passing on the show, but I'm glad we're finally giving this insanity our undivided attention.
I think it's interesting to get into, Matt, because it's a very specific part of the Crystal Pepsi saga.
Right. A very ignoble ending if it hadn't come back later. This was not a smash success.
I felt like this was a ruse. They were trying to pull the wool over our eyes.
But it makes no sense because Crystal Pepsi totally flamed out. It was considered a laughingstock for a while. I mean, it was exaggerated, but, you know, there were skits about it on fucking Saturday Night Live.
Right, so they're trying to clear the name. Say, hey, maybe this isn't that bad. It tastes completely different.
Jay, I mean, you know, my motto in life is keep it simple. So you look at this soda. You need 10 sentences to explain what it is and what it isn't. That's not simple.
That's not simple.
I just don't get it because the problem that Crystal Pepsi ran into is that not so much that there was no interest, it just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So an immediate change to this soda after it fails completely, it just feels like, why would you possibly try this again so soon?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't get me wrong. Amazing can design. Love the idea of Crystal Pepsi having this like tucked away hidden sequel that most people don't know even exists.
Yeah, I didn't love how it was so focused on the word crystal. Even as a kid, I was like, that's very similar looking to Crystal Light.
I don't know that they were, that's a stretch to say that they were copying Crystal Light. But
maybe it was a stretch.
But it's not a stretch to say that they were copying Crystal Pepsi, which just, again, Crystal from the makers of Pepsi, the entire TV commercial, the one TV commercial that there was for this, is basically poking fun at how confusing it is.
Yeah, it is. It's very confusing. We needed to bring it up because it's such an obscure part of soda history back in 1994. Do you own these bottles, Matt?
I don't own a bottle, but I do own a can. And as I recall, it was not very cheap.
Yeah.
That was an investment can because I really wanted it for one picture that everyone's already forgotten by now and had too much glare in it anyway. But I do have one, yes.
Crystal is low in sodium, has fewer calories, and it's caffeine-free. It's a big hit for people looking for a carbonated beverage that's light and uniquely refreshing.
Number six.
By Shasta, a new dimension in fun.
From 1993, my third pick is the set of four Super Mario sodas released by Shasta.
Shasta.
Oh man, Shasta is one of those words I'm going to have some trouble with. Shasta, Shasta. How do you say that?
Shasta.
Shasta?
Yeah.
Shasta. Okay. Yeah. Shasta Cola. Four different Mario Shasta Colas. They were sold in those like half-size cans.
Yeah, the little tiny 8 ounces.
Right, right. Which, you know, to be honest with you, I fucking hate drinking out of those.
I hate those.
The flavor never hits lame. The same. It's like, it doesn't work.
But like a normal size can is way too small as it is. You know, the regular can should be bigger. And this is even smaller than the regular one. So you always felt like, what am I going to do with this? I mean, you need two of them.
You're definitely dreaming big there. Because now we've gone from complaining about this little one size to actually making the standard one much bigger. Like, that's my God. Go for the gold, Jay.
Yeah.
I'll settle for just a little bit bigger on these.
Okay.
Now, I've said this before. Considering the overall impact and importance Nintendo had in our lives, there was a pretty relatively low amount of merch. So these popped.
Low amount of merch for Super Mario Brothers, you're saying?
Well, I mean, just Nintendo in general.
Just Nintendo in general, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Super Mario probably had the most, but it still didn't have enough given how popular it was.
Yeah, and this was like around the time that the movie came out. Obviously, it wasn't a tie-in with that.
You know, I was looking at Mario history. I'm like, okay, I guess this is technically like the Super Mario World era, but you're right. The movie was the same year.
Yeah, I mean, the art was obviously the video game style. And then they had different flavors, right?
Mario Punch.
Here we go!
Princess Toadstool Cherry.
Oh, right!
Luigi Berry.
Mamma mia!
And Yoshi Apple.
Yahoo!
Each can had a completely different design featuring one of those characters. Very Jones Soda-esque.
Yeah, it's very Jones. It was Jones-esque. I like that. Yeah.
Which of those four appeals to you the most?
So, all right, I gotta say, first of all, being that when I was a kid, Shasta was at every family gathering in the big Playmate on ice in the backyard. So very big fan of Shasta. So I just got to throw that out there.
Yeah, you've mentioned that fucking pool of Shasta before.
Oh, it's so good. But I would probably go with Princess Toadstool Cherry because obviously cherry soda, forget it. I'm there. How about you?
That would also be my pick. I am a little concerned. I mean, this does not look like a very complex or nuanced soda. I hope it's not a cloying cherry, but I guess it wouldn't matter if it was because I'll never know. I am curious, though. about the Yoshi apple?
You know, you would be the one who will know. That's the irony.
We all got to go sometime, Jay.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to die, it's drinking Princess Toadstool cherry soda.
So the Soda Fandom Wiki says that these were a huge hit in Japan, but bombed in the States. I don't know what level of credence we can give the Soda Fandom Wiki, but I did find out that they were not in a lot of states.
See, here's another one that I feel like I remember seeing in the store and passing it by because I wasn't a big Mario guy. I wasn't a Nintendo guy.
1993, was I long in the tooth for this? Maybe a little, but I would have still bought them, I think. I would have been too blown away by Mario Soda, so I must not have seen them.
I have memories of seeing these on the bottom shelf at the A&P.
We watch our P's and Q's and A&P.
It sounds disgusting, what I'm about to say, and it's not something I ever order for myself now, just to be clear. But as a kid, they had the best fried chicken. They did, right?
Come really? On. I don't know. I never ordered it from there.
Oh, my God. Almost Roy's level. So good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I just remember being in awe of that store. You know what? It reminded me of a grocery store you would see in like a movie or a TV show.
Actually, if you go back far enough, they kind of resemble the store from The Mist a little bit.
Oh, it does, yeah. It has that vibe.
It's sort of like that.
Exactly. Very good call, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's where I remember seeing these, on the bottom shelf, those little 8 ounces, and I would have never bought 8 ounce cans of anything.
I don't know. We were kids back then, so maybe we would have held a different opinion, but yeah, not my favorite now.
So a full set was going for $400, but individually, the pricing doesn't really match up what I've seen.
The prices on these are just so fucked up. Not even just for this show. They've been on and off my watch list a million times. It's totally nonsensical. I just saw a 6-pack sealed of this soda sell for like $40.
That's bizarre.
Meanwhile, yeah. People are also selling individual empty cans for $40 and some sets for $400. You got to really know your shit because you shouldn't be spending too much money.
Yeah, and really, this is for only the hardcore collectors. Like, what are you going to do with this?
Well, I mean, I'll find out in a week. I just ordered one. Mercari came through for me. I think I got the Yoshi one, actually.
Of course.
Number 7.
Yeah, Oliver Storm.
Introducing Storm, a whole new kind of lemon lime. It's guaranteed to thrill your senses.
Matt, that was Pepsi Storm. Lemon lime with a bit of caffeine.
I don't know what the caffeine levels were, but I do have to point out, you're calling it Pepsi Storm, but it's really just Storm.
It's just Storm. It's its own,
like Pepsi has created a new soda. This is not a spinoff. This was meant to be a big deal.
Only in test markets, again, just like these weird things. They put it out in test markets and you weren't really able to get it, right? So this is lemon lime, caffeine, had this kind of blue and yellow can. Really neat looking, and they did a tie-in with Star Wars, The Phantom Menace. So there's a couple of cans with, I think, Jar Jar Binks and Qui-Gon.
It's insane to me that the Star Wars Phantom Menace Pepsi promotion, which was the biggest shit in the world, had this totally blink-and-you'd-miss-it test-marketed soda as part of it. It's wild to me.
Star Wars Episode 1 cans collect all 24 this summer.
1998 just kind of came out of left field. And you're thinking, well, if it's just lemon lime, I think the idea is like, well, we're putting caffeine in it. That's what's separating it, kind of giving it that extra little bit of a kick. Just available in the test markets. It lasted about 2 years. I think in Colorado, it was very big in Colorado.
Well, that makes sense that they would try Colorado because, like you said, caffeine energy. I feel like the whole branding of it is very Surge-like.
Yeah.
So Colorado sounds like the right place to try to pitch that.
Yeah.
Well, skiing, you know, there's a lot of fucking athletes doing active shit out there.
Yeah, like active people.
I mean, you saw it where I am, they were like, I don't want to fucking, I don't even want to get up to get the soda can, let alone do anything else.
I felt like, what am I going to say about Pepsi Storm other than what we just said, right? That's it.
End of discussion.
So I wanted to find something interesting. There was a Google search I had up with one of the graphics of the larger plastic bottle.
The like 7-Eleven, yeah. You want a soda bottle.
Cool label and whatnot. I see that really grainy pic, right? And I clicked on it. So then I start reading the article and I'm like, I'm going to read this. The labels are used for their outstanding image and enhanced appearance in the marketplace. The beverage producer has used metallized labels with other products.
Who wrote this? It sounds so inside baseball.
And then they're describing this easy grip bottle. Like, what the hell? And they said it's made of polyethylene terephthalate bottles. I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like the most interesting bottle I've ever heard, right?
And the funny thing is that they're probably just describing what every bottle is, but now that they're using the technical terms, it just sounds so much cooler and more dangerous.
So then they went on to say that they decided to make changes to the chemistry of the inks and additives to make it easier for recyclers to more cleanly separate the different bottles, right? I scrolled up to the top. It's an article from Packaging World Magazine, March of 1998. And I think I'm sitting there reading some pop culture blog.
Oh my God. Hold on. Give me the name of that place again. Packaging World Magazine.
Packaging World Magazine.
I have to see like a front cover or something.
The March 1998 issue.
This is amazing. This is such like the old joke in sitcoms that there's a magazine for every interest. It's a literal long-tenured magazine specifically about packaging, and all of the cover art is just bags and cups and boxes. I love this.
They're making this thing sound incredible. And then I'm like, this cannot be a retro site. What is this?
No, it's an old trade magazine. This is for the people who lived in the industry. To them, they were just speaking normal, but to us, that just sounds wild.
It honestly sounds like the greatest bottle of any soft drink known to man is really what they made it sound like.
It's funny because like you're describing it and I'm like, I own Storm. I have the can and the bottle. And I'm like, they seem pretty normal.
Metallized labels.
Yeah, so it's just crazy. That's probably describing 99% of fucking soda labels. It just sounds so fancy.
You can recycle the shit out of this.
Oh, you gotta buy 10 cases.
Pepsi Storm.
Leave a message.
Hey, sweetie. It's Amy. I was hoping to come by. If you're not home, I'll just use my key. Bye.
Sweet. What?
Life isn't always so smooth. Fortunately, there's a lemon lime that is. Introducing the smooth taste of Storm. Make the move to smooth.
Number 8.
From the heart of Canada's wilderness comes a pure, sparkling sensation in 7 natural and wild fruit flavors. Clearly Canadian. Let the water take you there.
All right, Jay, my last pick, I guess, technically isn't a soda, but I don't care. I don't care. Debuting in 1987, let's talk about Clearly Canadian.
Yes.
So this stuff was around for a long time. Then it was gone for a bit. Now it's back again. But for the moment, can we focus on its halcyon days, the early to mid 90s?
Absolutely incredible. Just totally changed the game.
They were so chic at the time. These glass bottles of fizzy fruit flavored water with this, like, how would you describe this shape? It's almost like a lamp.
So I was reading about the bottle. They said that.
Was that another article from Packaging World Magazine?
He said he wanted to make it feel like you had a baseball in your hand.
I could kind of see that, especially, you know, considering my hands were probably smaller back then. Dude, I bought this fucking pitch. I was so into these.
These were so good. And they really marketed it with the Canadian wilderness in a bottle.
They just look like super clear water through this nicely fashioned glass. Oh, it just looks so clean.
It really did. It had this very fancy vibe.
Now, if you're picturing something like, how do you say it, LaCroix? Nah.
Oh, and like bubbly and whatnot?
It was bubbly like LaCroix, but the flavor was so much.
Well, no, but I'm saying bubbly is another brand of those seltzers.
Oh, bubbly. I'm sorry. Yes. I guess bubbly. I like bubbly better than LaCroix, just for the record.
This is different.
This is a totally different thing. This is sweet. The way I remember this is that it tasted like you melted a package of fruit snacks in a sparkling water.
Yeah, it really did taste like that. And it did have sugar, though. It wasn't like sugar-free, just water.
No, this was a calorie bomb for sure. But man, you didn't always have the option because, you know, it wasn't in every store. But whenever I had the option, I would always take Clearly Canadian over a bottle of soda.
Oh, man. You know what I loved about it? The variety pack. Like, I'm a huge variety pack fan in general. So when you're able to get multiple flavors and then have a different one every night,
oh, wow,
that's the way to go.
I didn't even know they had a variety pack. I used to get them from, like, the corner store. Everyone had a corner store. Mine was, like, a little tiny box, and it sold, like, bread, lotto tickets, and for some reason, Clearly Canadian.
Canada is just very nice, friendly people, and everything is clean, and the air is pure, and the water is clearly Canadian, and it tastes like fruity beverages.
Yeah, this is literally pulled straight from Canada's seas.
Yes.
They do nothing else to it.
You go to, like, lakes up there, and it tastes like blackberry.
It's heaven on earth.
Yeah, it is. It's a magical healing elixir.
So, Jay, Clearly Canadian lasted for a long time, and then it went away, and now it's back. I assume it's the same makers, but if not, does look like they've done a bang-up job, and I can say that with confidence, because you and I both have bottles of it here.
Yeah, you picked up some bottles. That was amazing. I haven't had this in freaking, oh my God, I don't know, 30 years?
Yeah, I'll be real with you. I did have it, I think, like 2 years ago, because I found it at a weird Salumeria around here.
Uh-huh.
And if this holds up to how I remember that being, we are in for a real nice surprise.
Real nice surprise.
Just a real nice surprise. So we're going to go with one of the classic flavors tonight, Mountain Blackberry.
Mountain Blackberry, yeah.
Let's twist them open.
So excited. Oh, ooh, yeah.
It smells just, I mean, this smells like 1990 fucking two, yeah, to me.
I'm going.
Okay.
Yep.
That is incredible.
Yep. That tastes just like it used to. Wow.
That is an absolute match. It sends you right back. It's exactly the same.
You know what it's like? You ever have a wine cooler like Bartles and James, but without the alcohol?
That's exactly what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. This is the only resurrected nostalgia brand or retro release or any of those things where I feel like it is literally exactly the same as it was. Packaging, logo, flavor, taste, look, everything, the smell. It is just a 10 out of 10.
Well said. I have to agree fully, because when you're going to bring something back, people want it as it was. Right. So if you're going to do it, just give the people what they want, like Batista.
He was so right. Because could you imagine, this could have very easily been in a plastic bottle, which would have sucked.
Yeah.
This could have had a near equivalent flavor, which would have been okay, but not the same. Very glad that this resurgent version is glass. Fucking heavy glass. It's like a fucking turkey leg made of glass. You might be able to get it around you. I don't know what kind of, like, market penetration it has, but if you can't find it, it is on Amazon.
Now I can never unsee this turkey leg thing.
Right?
What is with the Thanksgiving food? You're getting primed for it already. You're skipping over Halloween and going right to Thanksgiving.
I am going to make myself some stovetop and order a rotisserie chicken when this show is over.
You can't record the Purple Stuff podcast when you're hungry. That's always doom.
I mean, I actually am starving right now, so that makes sense.
Talk about rapid thirst-quenching results. New Summer Strawberry does the tango on your teeth. Wild Cherry hang glides down your throat. Mountain Blackberry takes a glacier vacation on your tongue. And lip-puckering Loganberry, don't sweat it, just get it. Clean, pristine. Clearly Canadian won't leave you high or dry.
Sugar-sweetened sodas constrain the body's metabolism and accelerate cell aging.
Matt, that was our 8-pack of sodas, the soda sequel. How did you feel about things tonight?
Whenever you do a part two to a show, there's always that risk that your picks are going to be, like, not as good.
Subpar, as it were.
I don't know what the listeners will feel like, but I actually think I'm more personally invested with our mix tonight than I was the first time.
I feel like I'm equally as invested. I mean, people are still talking about my Inca Kola.
Well, that was sort of the impetus for this show, is that we actually got a reference to the soda show pretty recently. So we're like, why not? Let's do the part two finally. 4 years later.
Yeah. Maybe if we live another 20 years, we'll do a sequel to The Robot Show.
The Robot Show. That's a great thing to listen to over Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, man. So, all right. What do you think, Matt, out of all of our picks tonight?
Well, I'll just pick from your four here. You brought up New York Seltzer, fronted by
Randy Miller, the New York Seltzer guru.
The tiger-owning, race car-driving, feather-haired Sultan of Soda, I think. Sultan of Seltzer, you said.
Sultan of Seltzer.
You brought up the Lifesaver Soda, which is definitely not going to be it for me, man. It's like, I have a little picture of it.
It's not even it for me.
I have a picture of it in my notes, and it's of the bottles, and I'm just looking at those, like, neon colors. This just does not look good to me at all.
Nah.
You brought up the Storm drink from Pepsi, which had a Star Wars connection and apparently is the featured soda in an incredibly long and technically specific article in Packaging World magazine.
Yes.
You brought up Crystal from the makers of Pepsi. It's just an awesome little blip in the radar of Crystal Pepsi, and it's, man, it's so dumb that it exists, but I love that it does.
Yeah.
My pick is Crystal from the makers of Pepsi.
Wow.
Yep. You know, for somebody with my interests, it hits every fucking button.
It's a shame that it took all these years for them to finally get credit for being pioneers of the Crystal saga.
A marketing mistake, Jay, for sure, but it is my pick. Your turn.
All right. So we had the Sierra Mist Cranberry Splash, which is the holiday version of Sierra Mist with the cranberry flavor, which is fantastic. Mm. Shasta Super Mario Brothers sodas from 1993 in those little 8-ounce cans. Pepsi Wild Bunch from 91. And then lastly, Clearly Canadian. So I would have the Pepsi Wild Bunch as a runner-up, but definitely going Clearly Canadian because it's amazing. And what a pleasant surprise that it tastes exactly like it used to. And as I'm sitting here, I'm like, wow, I just had Clearly Canadian for the first time in God since it was first popular.
It must have meant something to you because you're picking something to win the soda show that actually is not a soda.
It's in the game.
So Clearly Canadian and Crystal from the makers of Pepsi, two clear beverages, have swept the night.
Unbelievable.
Shocker.
So it's been fun, Matt. We want to tell everybody we are on Patreon.
Patreon.com/purplestuff.
Yes, we got our monthly bonus shows and we're always having a good time on there. Recently, we did our, you know, we watch old stuff on VHS sometimes. And what did we do last time, Matt?
We did an episode review, or recap really, of Tales from the Dark Side, including some of the commercials that aired during a 1985 broadcast.
Oh, God. It was so good.
It was a fun time.
Yeah. If you get a chance, leave us a great review.
Yes.
A 5-star review of the Purple Stuff podcast.
Yes. Always appreciate it.
We really appreciate you listening. This has been the Purple Stuff podcast. I am Jay from Sludge Central.
I am Matt from Dinosaur Dracula.
We'll see you next time.